The first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. This can be found on page 77 in the Pew Bibles. Page 77, Exodus, chapter 20, starting to read at verse 1. And this is about the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, verses 5 to 26. And it can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1067 or 1066 as it is in mine. That's John 4, verses 5 to 26. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jake as well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus had answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself, as did also his son and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." This is the word of the Lord.
And our hearts and our ears to hear any message that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. Well, good morning, everybody. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you this morning, so thank you for the invitation. And I must say, it really is looking good. I don't get to come down here very often, but I'm very impressed, and just sitting up here on the chancel, it all looks good and very nice, very, very impressed. As Mark said, my name is Andy Kirkpatrick. You'll normally find me at St. Philip's, but I'm with you this morning, so thank you. We've been looking at the book of Exodus, and this morning we've reached the part of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a big deal. Ten Commandments are a big deal. Widely known scripture. I think you could probably say, if you're to ask anybody or most people, regardless of whether they've been to church a lot or not, they would have a reasonable idea of the Ten Commandments. They would have some idea of the Ten Commandments. Even in today's post-Christian culture, a lot of people have got some idea of the Ten Commandments. We're going to look at them in a bit more depth this morning. So first of all, let's just set the scene where we've been going over the last few weeks. We know that the Israelites were in Egypt. Whilst they were in Egypt, they were oppressed. They were oppressed, but they also were blessed as they grew in number. And they grew and grew in number until they reached the number of around about 600,000. 600,000 men and many more. And shortly after, Moses took them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea. And then shortly after that, God blessed them as he provided for them with manna from heaven. We're at the point now where they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. It's only about 3 months into their journey. 3 months into their journey, they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God has spoken to Moses, and he said to Moses, ask the leaders whether, the leaders of the Israelites, whether they're prepared to obey my commandments. Moses asked and they said yes. So God said, right, okay, we're going to get everything ready. We're going to get Mount Sinai consecrated, because God was going to come and deliver the Ten Commandments, deliver his laws to the Israelites. God got Moses going up and down Mount Sinai a number of times. And I have to say, I've got some idea what it's like going up and down mountains a few times, and I know Adrian has as well. It's hard work. Anyway, the time was right. The time arrived. And God delivered the Ten Commandments amid the sound of trumpets, amidst black smoke. There was thunder and there was lightning. And God delivered the Ten Commandments. So what were they? First one, thou shalt have no other gods other than me. The second, do not bow down to idols. Third, Do not misuse God's name. The fourth, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I'll stop there after those four. We can recognise that those four, in a way, they show God's exclusive right to worship. God's exclusive right to worship. And then we move on. The fifth, honour thy mother and father. The sixth, thou shalt not murder. Seventh, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eighth, thou shalt not steal. Nine, thou shalt not lie. And 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's property. So the next six kind of relate to each other. The first four, God's direct right to worship, and the next six, we're kind of looking at our relationship with each other. They were not Moses' commandments, they were God's commandments. God delivered the commandments. They were rules for holy living. They were rules to make God's chosen people more and more holy. They were rules in order that God's chosen nation could be a treasured possession as a whole, as a collective. They weren't rules just to make them nice people. They were already redeemed, so it was not to make them more redeemed. They were to be image bearers and agents of change. It's interesting that it was only 3 months into the journey, the wilderness, that the Ten Commandments were delivered. So only 3 months in, but yet they were to spend another 40 years in the wilderness. And again, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 21, that once again Moses delivered, or Moses spoke the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, but this was 40 years later. So the children of Israel received or heard the Ten Commandments at the beginning of the journey and again at the end of their journey. And it would have been a different set of Israelites who heard it the second time. Some of them would have died, some of them would have heard it twice, and a lot would have heard it for the second time. Just really showing the importance of the commandments, that they were for God's people. And showing the outline of God's laws. I'm just going to choose one of the commandments to look at. And the one I've chosen is, don't use God's name in vain. Don't use God's name in vain, which is the third of our Ten Commandments. The scope of this command covers all of our references to God. When Jesus' disciples asked him, how should we pray? Jesus answered, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Whether it's a statement or a request, it is recognizing God's name as being holy. Recognizing God's name, it means sanctify, and it's holy. In the book of Psalms, it says that we should fear God's name, we should praise God's name, we should bless God's name, and love God's name. You know, names are a big deal in the Bible. Abraham was previously called Abram. God changed his name to Abraham, and he said he would be the father of many. Jacob, previously called Jacob, subsequently called Israel. Jacob meaning heel grasper. Again, he changed his name. And Peter, who was originally called Simon. Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, and he said, Peter, you will be the rock. Names are important to God, And therefore God's name should be so important to us. Moses understood this and he asked God for his name, for his personal name. In chapter 3, God revealed his name. He said, I am, meaning Yahweh. As Christians, we bear God's name. As Christians, we bear God's name. So it's so important that we represent God's name in our daily lives in the way that he would expect us to do it. We have these throwaway terms so often we hear, expressions like, oh my God, and it's said without meaning, or OMG. When we hear that, I think it empties God's name of its significance. God's name is precious, God's name is powerful, and God's name is holy, and we should handle it with care. When I think of the Ten Commandments, I'm reminded of a time when I was on my training course. One of our leaders was a vicar, and he was telling us at a time when he was coming to a new parish, and he just arrived at his parish, and on his first day, he said that he got a phone call, and it was a phone call from somebody who was in the parish and been there for some years, and they said to him, oh, vicar, I hope you're going to tell our young people all about the Ten Commandments. I hope you're going to tell our young people all about the Ten Commandments. And he said, actually, I'm going to tell your young people all about Jesus. And as I was preparing for today, it made me think, yes, Jesus and the Ten Commandments. What does Jesus say? We often say, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? But let's look at what Jesus said when he was asked. So if you've got your Bibles to hand, could you turn, please, to page 991. Should be Matthew chapter 22, and if we start, just look at verse 34, the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang from these two commandments. So what did Jesus say? One, love God. Two, love one another. How can we turn that back and look at the commandments through that? Well, as I said earlier, that the first four commandments relate to our direct worship to God. They are centered at our worship to God. And we can look at those in a vertical sort of format, from us to God, our relationship, our worship to God, in a vertical way, from us to God. Jesus was confirming this when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. He was mirroring the first four commandments. And then he said, love each other. Love each other as yourself. That relates to each other. That's everybody else. And that was mirroring the fourth to the tenth commandment. So if we look at it in this way of the direct from us to God in a vertical format as the first four commandments, and then we look at the next six as the horizontal, we kind of get this cross shape. It's the way I pictured it. So then, I guess we could say, if we looked at the commandments through the lens of the cross, look at the commandments through the lens of the cross, what do we see? Well, Jesus fulfills the requirements of the law. Only Jesus fulfills the requirements of the law. Only Jesus lived the perfect life. So without Jesus in our lives, there's no way that we could ever successfully obey all the commandments. But if we recognize him as our Lord and our Saviour, and we ask Jesus into our lives, then through Jesus, we begin to appreciate and recognize what it means to be God's treasured possessions. We begin to see the value and the integrity of the commandments. And as we move further and further into our relationship with God, then we see and appreciate how obeying his laws and his commandments draws us closer to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have the best plan for our lives. You have given us free will to live our lives. And I ask that you guide and encourage us, that we will be open to you, open to your Spirit, to live the life that draws us closer and nearer to you. Amen.